I'm looking to make this thing work on a Friday. Clone, step it up. Make sure you go hard into the weekend. Leave it all out there. You're going to enjoy everything. Today is Friday, Hood. You will enjoy everything about this day and this weekend if you go hard and you finish. Step your game up.
Step your game up.
I'm locked. I'm loaded. I'm ready to roll. How about you? What are you going to bring to it today? Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so maybe you've been laying out. Today might be the day. In fact, today is the day. Pick up the phone, make that phone call, get in here, make a name for yourself, make the show better. Bring me something. Tell me something I've not heard already. Don't be so passive, man. Be proactive. Get in here. What do you have to bring to this program? You know what you're going to get from me. I need to know what I'm going to get from you. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me on Twitter. If you want to kind of wade in, take your shot, feel your way around, do it on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So it sets up like this. I've got three interviews. We are going to front load the Friday program. I front load Fridays because I want to make sure that Alvin's week that was has lots of room to breathe in hour number three. So three interviews in the first half of the show. This sounds kind of strange when I say it, but it's a fact. LA Chargers linebacker Thomas Davis. For so long, I've talked to him, but this is the first time that I'm going to speak to him as a member of the Chargers. LA Chargers linebacker Thomas Davis. That's coming up at 40 past in hour number two. Former linebacker from Air Force, Ryan Watson. Also in the second hour, New Orleans Saints running back, Latavius Murray. Alvy's week that was in hour number three. The ATP in hour number three. The DECA, yeah, right this damn second.
Yeah, 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 yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Thought about Jukebox Friday. Nearly brought that back. Yeah. Then I forgot about it. What are you doing this weekend? What's up? All right, so I've set the table for you. How about an opening take? Why don't we go back to Wednesday for me to make this thing work? Go back to Wednesday. The Warriors were coming off that 31-point implosion in Game 2. And then all of a sudden, there were lots of questions about them. Questions specifically about Kevin Durant and Pat Beverly. Was Patrick Beverly getting to Durant? Was Pat Bev doing what Pat Bev does, getting under his skin, getting into his head? How was Golden State going to respond? More importantly, how was Durant going to respond? Well, here's how Durant responded on Wednesday with a lesson in offensive style and scheme, capped off by a lesson in life.
Well, we had a nice flow of the game. You know, let's go back to the whole last month of the season. We've been playing this way for a while. And when we got to this series, game one, we had some nice momentum. They're playing a gimmick defense, which has been working, top blocking everything on the perimeter. So guys not even looking at the three-point line. They're just forcing guys inside the three-point line. So for us, when I get the ball in my spots, you know, I got a pest, Patrick Beverly, who was up underneath me. Well, I could definitely shoot over top and score every time if it's a one-on-one situation. But we got a guy that's dropping and helping, and then we got another guy that's just sitting on me waiting for me to dribble the basketball. If I put the basketball on the floor, I could probably make 43% of my shots if I shoot them like that, but that's not really going to do nothing for us at with the outcome of the game, you know, because we got a nice flow. Everybody touching the rock, everybody shooting and scoring. So I'm not going to get in the way of the game because, you know, I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverly. I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
In bottom line, he could have just said that and we would have all been fine and understood exactly what he was talking about. Like, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant. I mean, one thing to make that statement at the Warriors facility, but then he made it in the Clippers house last night. This guy comes out, he opens up by hitting everything. I mean, literally everything. Did not miss to start the game. And those were not open looks either. There was a hand in this guy's face every single time. The Clippers were not letting Kevin Durant get his. They were grinding, and they were making it as tough as they could on Durant. And it still didn't matter. He was still letting them know, I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am. In case you missed it last night or you need a refresher, here's a little TNT montage if you need it.
Kevin Durant hit all three of his shots. Gallinari got a piece with six on the shot clock. Oh. Wow. Tough turnaround for KD. Gilgeous Alexander trying to check Durant, and Durant knocks another one down. He has not missed. Six for six for Kevin Durant. Bogut gives it to Durant. Rises up over Beverly. Too easy for him. Shamet is an excellent three-point shooter. Big miss that time. Durant goes. Durant scores. And one for KD.
Nice play. KD up running the wing. Yeah, Patrick got grabbed him a little bit on that. But just
part of the story here tonight, because Kevin Durant is having his way. And it's not just on Patrick Beverly. Green goes all the way in transition. Misses with the left. Look at that finish by Kevin Durant.
So let me say exactly what that was. What that was a fighter tasting his own blood. They drop their hands. They get clocked in the second round. Then they come out locked in when the bell rang for round three, and they drop 41 on the Clippers in the first quarter, 73 in the first half, 109 by the end of the third, en route to a 132-105 beatdown. Again, 132-105 on the road in the playoffs against a team that some people were trying to argue had their number, or got under their skin, or got into their head. I mean, remember, this conversation a few days back was like the Clippers had supposedly exposed the Warriors in Game 2, shown the world all their weaknesses. And then the Warriors did that last night. L.A. Clipper Lou Williams said it best, quote, "We just got our ass kicked. That's it," end quote. I mean, how much of a statement were the Warriors making? I'd say a statement. They made a statement when they did this.
Nobody knows that better than Draymond Green. Great setup there by Green as Thompson with a cut to the basket. After he hit three consecutive shots, it's a rim run for Klay Thompson.
If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw that. And even if you're not, you heard that. Throw it down, big man. You know someone's getting their ass kicked when Klay Thompson is dunking with authority. You know somebody's getting punked if Klay Thompson is dunking at all. Just like you knew Golden State would show up like that. And if you didn't, then you don't know these cats. This is why I said after Game 2, you don't freak out, you don't go looking for the panic button, and that they were still going to win that series. They were still the team to beat overall. Because it's not like we haven't seen this a million times from Golden State already. Nothing we didn't already know about Golden State. They lose interest at times. They take their foot off the gas. They lack defensive intensity at times. Right. Now tell me something I didn't already know. And here's something we already knew. That they would show up the way they did in Game 3 after that meltdown in Game 2. They've been at this a long time now. They know that things like Game 2 are going to happen. They know the best way to make sure it doesn't happen again is to come out strong and early in Game 3. So they did, with a 22-9 run to start, a 17-point lead at the end of one. That's showing up huge. Oh, and you know who else showed up huge last night? The refs. Was that crew being paid by the whistle? Because it sure felt like it. If Kevin Durant reminded everyone that he's Kevin Durant, Scott Foster was there to remind everyone that he's Scott Foster. You know the old saying that if we know the ref's name, it's a bad thing? Not to Scott Foster, it's not. You got a problem with the number of fouls he called in that game? He's got an answer for you. I'm Scott Foster. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am. People paid good money to see Scott Foster ref a game, and he'll be damned if they aren't going to get a full arsenal of his calls. There was a point in the first half where Foster and his crew were calling something on nearly every single play. Durant picks up a couple of quick ones. Steve Kerr was about to sub him out, but KD pointed to his own head to say, "I got to play smarter," and he did. Except sadly for Scott Foster, last night was not about Scott Foster. Last night was about Kevin Durant. Mostly, it was about everyone who forgot that he was Kevin Durant and what that means. Because when Kevin Durant gets in that rhythm, you can cancel Christmas. 38 points, 7 assists. And one attempt from Draymond Green to explain what happened when he was asked by ESPN about that matchup with Beverly. Draymond said, quote, "But I like Kevin in that matchup, regardless of what Beverly does. I like Kevin in any matchup, with whoever, anytime, period. No one's defense matters, by the way. I've been on the other side of that defensive matchup with Durant. Mine didn't matter. I like that matchup with anybody," end quote. In other words, a defensive player of the year and one of the elite defensive players of all time saying the defense on Durant doesn't matter. And Draymond's right. You want another way to describe that? Andre Iguodala went poetic. Quote, "It kills the soul when they did everything they thought they could and you still score." End quote. And then Draymond just summed the whole thing up in two words. Kill mode. Soul killer, kill mode. I'll sum it up like this. It's Kevin Durant. Don't forget it. And when he's doing that, he is impossible to stop. And when he's doing that and you can't stop him, they can't be beat.
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
That's all he had to say. Instead of laying that whole thing out there like, we're in the flow, I got to move the ball, I'm not going to get caught up with Beverly, I'm part of a team. All he really had to say was, I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Freaking Kevin Durant. Watch that camera, Hawk. I love guys who love who they are. He's like, man, I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who you're talking to?
I'm Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, man.
You know who the hell I am?
Exactly. I was going to say, the only other guy who went like that was Evel Knievel. You know who the hell I am? Evel Knievel. Kevin Durant. Dear Jim, the Clippers looked as useful as the Microsoft Word paperclip helper guy. Thanks. Drew in West L.A. We're always good for one of those when something bad happens to the Clippers. At Mock Moda tweets, happy Good Friday. Not much smack today. Please remind some of the clones to get a life and pay their child support. Thanks, Jim Harbaugh.
Romy, it's good to be on the Smack Off. I just want to say thanks for taking my call. And I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy holiday. And I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today. It's a holiday and a day of peace and harmony, kind of like Fuzzy and Tiger playing in the Masters. But I want to wish everybody and their families a happy holiday, except for some of your clones who don't really have families and are behind on their child support payments, like your boy Sean in Syracuse. Tell that clone to get a life.
The Smack Off on Good Friday, back in the day. Jim Harbaugh appearing in the Smack Off, back in the day. Jim Harbaugh appearing in the Smack Off and starting his call by saying, I don't have much smack today. Yeah, it's probably not the day not to have smack. The day of the Smack Off. But that's neither here nor there. The bigger story here is that Jim Harbaugh once was in the Smack Off. You believe that?
Tell that clone to get a life.
Yeah, I'll jump right on that, Jim. Sean Rohasek's in. Since you're not on tomorrow, let me wish you a very happy Stoner Christmas. War Rome coming in for a segment tomorrow. I'm not doing that. But I will acknowledge you heads and your Stoner Christmas. You know I will. I'm good about that. You have my back. I have your back. I'll never be one of you. At least I haven't to this point. But I'm not here to judge. In fact, I'm here to give you your respect. Like I do every single time of this year. And I will. But that respect stops at I will acknowledge that it's the Stoner Christmas Eve. I'm not coming in tomorrow for that. Who do I look like? The host of the Scrub Saturday show? I mean, sure, back in the day I did. At Sugar Smack tweets, hey, stoners, tomorrow, have a happy, we're so stoned, we're confused, a calendar for a clock day. I'll get there. And again, I'm not here to judge. The world is changing. It's like a war of attrition. You heads are winning. All right, other topics. I want to talk Ben Simmons and Jared Dudley. That's something nobody expected. All of a sudden, that series got a little spicy. In case you did not know, the NFL draft gets underway next Thursday, which means by this time, next Thursday, we will finally know where Josh Rosen is going to be, probably. And if you've been waiting for Josh Rosen to finally respond to all the speculation that they might take Kyler Murray and he might be on the move, he finally did get around to it. And I want to react to his reaction. Lots of hockey to talk about. Canes Caps. Talk about, quote, spicy. And it is the Stoner Christmas Eve. I will be there for you. I've got you. This email says, hey, Jim, in case you forgot about me, I'll never, and I mean ever, go away. Just like my boy Toby in Houston. Yours, KD. Wait. Remember back in the day when you clones were trying to get me to play the Toby and Houston call? And I said that I would not do that. The only way I would ever play that is if Larry Brown himself called me up and asked for it. But that didn't stop you clones from reaching out to guests on Twitter to try to get the guests to ask me about Toby and Houston. And literally one of you got Kevin Durant to do it way back in the day.
Great to have you on. Thank you.
Hey, Jim, can you do me a favor?
You got it.
Can you say what's up to Toby in Houston for me?
Yo, Toby in Houston, what up?
All right, man. Appreciate that.
Do you know who that is, though, Kevin? Or somebody feed that to you?
Yeah, that's my man. I know who it is.
Who is it?
It's one of my guy's best friends.
All right, man. You're being straight, right? You know the story behind Toby, right?
Yeah.
What?
Say it again?
What's the story behind Toby?
Oh, that's Larry Brown's guy, right?
It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. I don't know what amazes me more in 2019. That Kevin Durant was just kind of grab-assing on the show as a guest. Like, he was on the show and we were just messing around. Like, Kevin Durant was on the show. Kevin Durant's not doing a lot of shows like that anymore. I don't know what's more amazing. That Kevin Durant did the show, or that Kevin Durant literally was trying to get me to play the Toby. Excuse me. The Toby in Houston call. Kevin Durant was doing that. And so was Andrew Bogut.
Supposed to shout out a guy that was talking about Larry Brown's crank, right? I got no crank stories for you, Jimmy, but I've heard everything about Toby Boy, so supposed to shout him out, but I'm still thinking about whether I will or not.
That's absolutely amazing. That never, ever gets the credit that deserves. I'm blown away that Kevin Durant came on the show and then did that. But Andrew Bogut coming right out and talking about Larry Brown's crank and then getting into it and then saying, I'm still trying to decide whether or not I'm going to do it when he just did it. I need that one more time, Alvin.
Supposed to shout out a guy that was talking about Larry Brown's crank, right? I got no crank stories for you, Jimmy, but I've heard everything about Toby Boy, so I'm supposed to shout him out, but I'm still thinking about whether I will or not.
My man, I have no crank stories for you, Jimmy, but I know everything about my boy, Toby. And that was not the only time that Andrew Bogut did that.
It seemed to me that you were pretty mad at the Rockets.
Oh, no, I was just talking about seeing Toby on next Wednesday.
Oh, look out. Here's my man.
Line that one up beautifully, Jimmy. But, I mean, one of those games, you know, I like to have subliminal messages, so if people want to read it that way, they can. It could also mean that I want to catch up with some friends for a movie that day, too. So we'll just leave that one as it may.
God, this guy's amazing. Golden State's amazing. I'm so glad Andrew Bogut's back. And Kevin Durant never left. That was his whole point. Y'all know I'm Kevin Durant, right?
Position. He wasn't.
Thomas Davis coming up at 40 past. Ryan Watson next hour. Latavius Murray next hour. All right, then. How about a phone call? A good phone call to get this thing going. Warmer weather is finally here, and that means it is time for spring cleaning. You could spruce up the house and the yard, but for a truly fresh start, get a Casper mattress. It'll help you wake up feeling refreshed and ready to enjoy this beautiful weather. The Casper mattress combines four layers of pressure-relieving foams for all-night comfort. Softer under your shoulders, firmer under your hips. That sets it up for healthy alignment, extra support. Plus, the breathable foams are designed to keep you cool all night long. With bedding, bed frames, even now a dog bed, Casper has everything your whole family needs for a guaranteed great night of sleep. All mattress orders also have free shipping and free returns, so you can try your Casper in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. You will love sleeping on a Casper. Go to Casper.com, use the code Rome, get $100 off the purchase of select mattresses. Again, Casper.com, code Rome, get $100 towards the purchase of select mattresses. Additional fees may apply for Alaska and for Hawaii. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, Casper.com, code Rome, save big bucks.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, Raider fan, Remember in recent weeks when you've been coming in more and more saying things like, hey, you know what? John Gruden's got this. John Gruden's got this. He's got this thing figured out. It's fine. It's good. We're fine. Hey, Vance Mack. And another thing. Check this out. Ian Rappaport just tweeted the following, and I quote, sources, hashtag Raiders coach John Gruden and GM Mike Mayock sent their scouts home for the weekend, and they are not expected to return by draft time. The belief is they don't know who to trust, and they wanted to clear the room. End of quote. So if that's true, he just tweeted that Gruden and Mayock sent their scouts home for the weekend and that they're not expected back for the draft because they want to clear the room because they don't know who to trust.
And you know.
All right, so let's not forget, it was Gruden who not long ago said, quote, to Mayock, quote, don't mess it up, dude. I took a lot of slings to get you 3 first-round picks, end quote. Look, I understand that last year there were these reports of tension between Gruden and the scouting department, but that was last year, right? That should have been cleaned up by now. Apparently, that has not improved at all. Not if he's sending home the scouts right before the draft, and they're not expected back before the draft. It doesn't sound like that's gotten better at all. Then again, why would I overreact? Then again, maybe it's not a big deal at all. Maybe it's not a big deal that they're clearing the room and sending all their scouts home for the weekend. I mean, when you get right down to it, this is a perfect time for the scouts to have a vacation. It's not like there's anything big coming up. It's not like you would need your scouts this week. It's not like their input would be valued this week. Why do you need your scouts? There's nothing going on other than the NFL draft. Hey, Raider fan, how you feeling about things right now? Yeah, I know. The reason they cleared the room is so they could bring in a bigger buffet table for a bigger spread. I saved you the trouble. Damn, Vance Mack. I wanted to tweet that. Yeah, I know. Because I know what you think before you think it. And generally, it's not amusing. Sorry about that. Find something else. And you know, Gruden and Mayock cleared their scouts out before the draft. Allegedly. Have fun with that. They're going to have the greatest draft cam ever. That's going to be so awesome when they take us inside that war room. It'll be Chunk and Mayock just chilling. Just the two of those guys just chilling. Hey, Mike, you check out these nachos? Get yourself a plate, man. These things are good. Hey, check this out, Mikey. We got a chocolate fountain. Hey, Mikey. No waiting at the buffet. Hey, Mikey, grab yourself a cup of chocolate. Get a big old mug of chocolate. Stucknut tweets, Gruden and Mayock realized that the only person they can trust is Raider Mike.
And you know,
trust me, Mike is going to be the only one in that war room with the two of those guys. So that note just in, they've cleared out the room because they do not trust their own scouts. Hey, remember, they've got 3 first-round picks. Remember? Remember Chunk told Mayock, don't screw this up now. I took a lot of slings to get you those picks. Yeah, not like that's a very important draft or anything. They only gave up Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack, and they have 3 first-rounders. Not a very important draft. And they just cleared the room of their scouts because they don't trust them. Raider dysfunction. Same as it ever was. When we come back, L.A. Chargers linebacker Thomas Davis. Wait for that. First up, though, here is a bottom-of-the-hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
What's cracking? Mentioned the NFL draft is coming up next week. I also mentioned that Ian Rappaport tweet that John Gruden and Mike Mack have cleared out the room, that they don't trust their scouts, reportedly. Let's talk some more football. We are joined right now by a linebacker for the Los Angeles Chargers. He is an All-Pro. He is a three-time Pro Bowler. He is the 2014 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner. He is the Carolina Panthers' all-time leader in tackles. He signed with the Chargers last month. The Chargers open up the season against Indianapolis September 8th, 4:05 p.m. Eastern on CBS, if you want to make a note. He is a friend of the program. He is Thomas Davis. Thomas, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm going great, man. How you guys doing?
Great. Thomas Davis, LA Charger. Man, you've had about a month to get used to hearing that. What is your reaction then when you hear yourself introduced as Thomas Davis, Los Angeles Charger?
Hey, man, it's definitely different, but I'm excited about the opportunity and really looking forward to seeing what kind of season we can have as a football team this year.
All right, so the offseason program started this week, and then after only one day, your teammates were already raving about you. Derwin James, for example, said, quote, "Man, that's a big piece. He's a vocal leader. He's a great guy. I can see as I've been around him, he's a good guy to help mentor me, especially as a young guy trying to come in and lead," end of quote. So what's it been like for you being around the guys in the new team?
Man, it's been exciting. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting to know everybody and just trying to figure out how I'm going to fit on this team. And you just want to come in as a veteran and just try to offer any kind of knowledge that you can to the younger guys on defense and just trying to help step into a leadership role and just really becoming a part of what they're doing.
Thomas Davis joining us. Now, you've been around the game a long time, and you've been around long enough, and you've got enough respect and enough goodwill in the bank that if you were to show up for off-season workouts and kind of pace yourself and relax a bit, nobody would question that at all. But you were out there looking to dominate. You were out there looking to win every single day. Why is that?
No, that's just the mindset that I've always had. You know, you go out, you compete hard, you work hard during the off-season, you work hard in practice, then, you know, that makes the games easier, and that's kind of the mindset that you want to impress upon the young guys on the football team. If they see a guy that's going into his 15th year doing it, then there's no excuse for them not to do it. So that's kind of how I've always been. And, you know, hopefully these guys will see that and they'll start doing the same stuff.
Thomas Davis joining us. You know, if you go back to earlier in the offseason, back in January, you received word from the Panthers that they were going to go in a different direction with the linebacker position. You were an icon in Carolina. You poured your heart and soul into that organization. You know it's a business, but what's it like when you get the word that your time has come to an end there?
You know, I was a little caught off guard when it first happened because, you know, I was under the impression and I was being told that I was going to be retained and be brought back and I would be allowed to, you know, finish my career there. But, you know, like I said, and like you said, it's a business. We understand that things in this league are always constantly changing. And you can't sit back and you can't take it personal. So for me, it was all about, you know, receiving the news, processing the information, and just really looking forward to the next chapter.
Thomas Davis joining us. Now, you become a free agent. What was that experience like, knowing that you could then choose to play anywhere you wanted? What were you looking for in a team?
You know, for me, I was just hopeful that, you know, someone would be willing to give me an opportunity. You know, once you've hit the year mark that I had hit, completing 14 years, and teams are starting to look to go younger in this league, but I was definitely excited to know that, you know, I had a few teams that were interested in me, and for the Chargers to step up and make the push that they did to bring me in, it was definitely exciting, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Chargers linebacker Thomas Davis is my guest. Now, the story goes that when the offer from the Chargers came, you said yes so quickly that your wife was like, wait, don't we get to talk about this? What was it about the Chargers that made you say yes so quickly?
I think when you look at the Chargers and you look at their roster and you look at how well this team performed last year, I think it was a no-brainer for me to really try to become a part of this organization and knowing that they have everything that it takes to compete for a Super Bowl. The only drawback was being on the West Coast, something that, you know, I've never been a part of. We've always been on the East Coast, been in Carolina for my entire career, but it's, you know, it's change, and it's something that now we're looking forward to and looking to make a positive.
Hey, listen, you're not far from where I am. I'm a West Coast guy. I love the West Coast. How's it treating you so far? What's it been like?
I mean, so far, so good. You know, I'm in a position right now where I'm trying to find somewhere to stay and just trying to make that transition and try to make it seamlessly. So looking forward to the new beginnings, and the weather is definitely great. The taxes are going to be terrible, I've been hearing.
That's true.
You know, it's good being in the position that we're in. I hear we're not going to have to deal with a lot of the L.A. traffic, so that's always good.
The taxes are terrible, the weather is amazing, and there are great things to do. Let me finally ask you this about the move. I mean, do you immediately plan that move and try to make that thing happen as quickly as possible, or do you kind of ease into your life here and go about it a little bit slower?
You know, you try to make it as quickly as possible, because you don't want to sit around too long and wait for all the places to get filled up and not really have your pick at where you want to stay at and being comfortable in that process. But at the same time, you know, there are a ton of decisions that you have to make as a parent when you have four kids and a wife, and you just got to make sure that you're making the right decisions for your family as well. So it's definitely, like I said, it's exciting times, it's new beginnings, and we're excited about the possibilities of having a great, successful season.
We're talking to Chargers linebacker Thomas Davis for a few more moments. You know, one of the things that the Chargers keep talking about is how excited they are not only to have you as a player, but as a leader. For instance, in Carolina, you played with a number of really special players, including Julius Peppers, who announced his retirement earlier this offseason. What was it like to play with Peppers? What did you learn from him?
Man, you know, I had the opportunity to play with Pep the first time that he was in Carolina, and then also had the chance to play with him when he came back home. And it was exciting. You know, Julius, his first go-around was not a real vocal player. He didn't do a whole lot of talking. He was the guy that really led by example, went out, did his business, and kind of went on about his life. But the second go-around, you can see the growth. You can see the maturity that he was able to develop over the years. He came back. He did a lot more talking. He did a lot more work in the community. He was more involved with everything that was going on. And, you know, it was exciting to see that side of Julius and just really be able to see the growth that he's had over the years.
So for that, I mean, you've been a part of some really good teams in Carolina. You played in a Super Bowl, and I know you see upside here. So when you look at the talent and the experience on this Charger team right now, how excited do you get? How good can this team be? What's the upside?
Man, I really think that the sky's the limit for this team, you know, because you look at this roster and you immediately get excited. You look at the defensive guys that we have. You look at the offensive guys that we have, and you just really know that as long as we go out as a football team and do the work right now, you know, this is the important time of the year, coming together, developing that camaraderie that you need, and just really going out and gelling as a unit. This is the time that we need to be successful, and I'm excited about it, man. Like I said, and I cannot impress upon you guys enough how excited I am about this roster and to be added and become a part of it.
I feel it. I can hear you. Before you go, you've been to a Super Bowl, so how much does that motivate you to get back? Is that the thing right now, or is the motivation about something else?
You know, for me, that should be the motivation for every team, every player at this point right now, is making it to the Super Bowl. And if you're playing this game for any other reason, then you're totally missing the mark, man, because at the end of the day, there's going to only be one team that's standing victorious, and that's the reason why you go through the things that you're doing right now and going out, putting the blood, sweat, and tears in and making sure that you're successful as a football team, and that's to win the Super Bowl.
So one last thought. You mentioned what it's like to kind of jump in there and kind of impose, not impose your will, but kind of establish yourself as a leader. When you signed linebacker Denzel Perryman, said, quote, he's going to be the Phillip Rivers of the defense. I'm excited for him to get in here so I can pick his brain, see what he sees, and just get his take on football in general. Is that how you approach it? Are you looking to be the Phillip Rivers of that defense?
You know, I'm just trying to be 1/11th of his defense. You know, it's not going to be about Thomas Davis per se on this defense. It's going to be about every man on that field going out and doing their jobs at the right time, at the same time, and on the same page. And that's something that we all have to realize. You know, no one man is greater than this defense. It's all about going out and everybody doing their job, because if we're on the field and one person is not doing their job right and that offense figures that out, then it's going to make for a leak in our defense. And we have to understand that we're only as strong as the next unit, man, and we have to go out and we have to prepare that way. And I think that when you look at this roster, like I said, when you have Joey Bosa and when you have Melvin Ingram and you have Mebane and you have those guys up front, I think for us on the back end, we have to realize that you know, we have to do our jobs in order for those guys to be successful and, you know, vice versa. And that's how defense works. You know, it's three different units. You have your front line, you have your linebackers, and you have your secondary. And we all have to be on the same page at the same time to make sure that we're working towards that common goal, and that's being the best defense in this league.
And the Chargers get their guy, and he gets a new challenge and a new opportunity. He is Carolina's all-time leader in tackles, an all-pro, a three-time Pro Bowler, a 2014 Walter Payton Man of the Year winner, and a friend of the program. Thomas, welcome to Cali. Good to have you here. Really nice to have you up the road. Nice to have you back on the show, and I always appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much.
Hey, I appreciate you for having me. Thank you.
You got it. Talk to you soon. Thomas Davis. That is something else, boy. That, in a sense, it takes a little getting used to, because for so long, we all identify him with that team, that community, Carolina. So initially, when you hear L.A. Chargers linebacker Thomas Davis, it takes a second or two to get used to. But then when you listen to him and he's settled in, he talks about the team, he talks about the guys he's playing with, he talks about his approach, and that's the guy you know. That's the guy you want. And I also appreciate him saying, yeah, you know what? Initially, it caught me off guard. I really did want to start and end my career there, but it's business. You figure it out. You accept it. You move on. You look for the next challenge. And Charger players, especially the young players, are already reveling and raving about his presence. And he has not been there that long at all. Going back to my thanks to Thomas Davis and the Chargers, going back to the Raiders and the fact that they cleared out the room. Chunk! And Mike Mayock cleared out the room, sent the scouts home because they don't know who to trust. Again, not like it's a very important time of year. Only right before the draft. A draft where they have three first rounders. A draft where they got one of those first rounders by giving up one of the best defensive players they've ever had. Where they got another one of those first rounders by sending a wide receiver who they had given up on and left for dead to Dallas, and said receiver pretty much saved their season. They've got three first rounders, but no scouts. And why do they have no scouts? Because they can't trust them. Sounds about right. This email says, hey, Grudes, if you wanted to clear the room, why didn't you just hit me up? I just ate a ton of shawarma. Just say the word. I'll blast one air biscuit and it's over. Signed, Mark Mangino. Probably asking yourself, what idiot sent that email? I'm not going to give this guy the satisfaction of mentioning him by name. Idiotic Vadi in Pasadena. Come on, Vadi. I expect that crap from so many other people, Vadi, but not you. Hey, Jim, if Gruden wanted to clear the room, there was a much easier way. He just needed to call me. Signed, the Geisha House Valet, Max Kellerman on First Take, Joel Embiid last night, Jim Tomsula, and John Clayton.
Brady Quinn is lurking. Where does it all stand in Cleveland?
Well, what they're going to do this week is Brady's going to...
That's great. Bunch of middle-aged guys emailing and tweeting the program about flatulence. Fart jokes. Good stuff, clones. Really good stuff. Really good stuff. Anyway, the point is not how to clear the room. The point is they cleared the freaking room of their scouts right before the draft, a draft where they have three number ones. Their most important draft ever. Stay on point. At SA Sports Honk, Rome, nothing wrong with Chucky sending all scouts home for the weekend. After all, isn't everybody working for the weekend? Sign Loverboy. That actually makes me happy. That actually makes me pretty happy compared to everything else I'm getting. All right, again, it's not how to clear the room. It's that they cleared the room. Raider dysfunction, right? Chunk Gruden does not trust his own scouts right before the biggest draft in team history. What does that tell you? All right, hour number two coming up. And in that second hour, more of me, none of you, Ryan Watson, and more. Stay tuned.